Another game where we invite interesting people on to answer questions about uninteresting things. It's called Not My Job. We are always flattered when we hear from our fans, but we were a little amazed when we heard from today's guest, Joey Harrington. He was a star quarterback at the University of Oregon, a finalist for the Heisman Trophy. He's had a distinguished career in the NFL, playing with the Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins, and all this past season for the Atlanta Falcons. And he listens to our show regularly. We love the idea of an NFL-NPR merger, so we definitely wanted to have him with us. Joey Harrington, welcome to Wait, Wait. Thank you. So we're just going to assume that NPR listening is very typical in the NFL. We're imagining that you all, to get ready for a game, just crank up the Thistle and Shamrock in the locker room before, you know, you get out there.
It's actually car talk. We listen to car talk before we go into meetings.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. Click and clack are just a little more interesting than you guys.
Let's be honest. Thank you.
How many times have you been in the locker room and a guy has said to you, "Did you hear the Writer's Almanac this morning?"
Twice last week.
Really? It happens a lot.
Yeah.
So you've been playing your whole life, obviously. I mean, that's true of everybody in the professional ranks. But at the same time, is the game still fun now that you're a pro? I mean, is it still as fun as it was, presumably, when you were in high school and going out there and playing for nothing but glory on a Friday night?
It's changed. I mean, that's I think, an obvious statement, but you have to find the joy in it. And if you truly love playing football, if you truly love the game and the sport, you'll find it. And I continue to find that.
Well, let's talk about the joy of playing football, because one of the things we've noticed is they've got these new cameras now that can swoop down on the field. I'm not quite sure how they do it. So you're getting more of a sense of what it's like for you guys on the field. And when you get a sense of it, it seems like you as the quarterback are faced by, given the play and the defense, anywhere from 5 to 9 extremely large, angry men who very much want to kill you now. So how does one deal? How do you avoid doing what I would do, which is falling to my knees and weeping? I mean, honestly.
Which is a trick play that worked back then. Yeah. 77 for the Steelers, yeah. I think.
The statue of sobbing.
I think as a quarterback especially, you learn at a young age that you're going to get hit. I mean, you're going to end up, you know, I want to say it's a lesson that a lot of kids learn when they're playing Pop Warner. You get a ding, you get, you know, hit in the leg, you get a little, you know, an ouchie, and you come off the sideline, and your coach says to you, are you hurt or are you hurting? If you're hurt, you know, we're going to get
you. Was Dr. Phil your coach?
Yeah.
You need to ask what Joey wants here.
I got to ask about this. You, of course, play for the Falcons last year. They had an interesting year.
You think?
You started as the backup to Michael Vick. Then he became otherwise engaged. And then, of course, toward the middle of the year, your coach quit. It must not have been a lot of fun last year.
Yeah.
Well, how do you deal with that, the incredible roiling drama around that team, unusual by even professional sports standards?
The thing that I've learned through 4 years in Detroit, and mostly in 4 years in Detroit, is you worry about what you can control. And, you know, with our coach quitting... I told myself I wouldn't say anything bad. But 17 more days. I mean, just take a deep breath for 17 more days.
Well, if I remember the story, he had promised everyone, the owner, everyone, he was not going to quit.
His words were, "I am your coach. You have a coach in me." And after the game, he said...
Not a coach of your team.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. Right. He said, "I want you to go home and take... Everybody to go home and take a look at themselves in the mirror and ask what you can do to help make this team better." And apparently what his decision was to make the team better was to leave.
Yes, well...
And so...
Did he take his ball and go home, or he just left?
You just needed to ask him, "Are you hurt or hurting?"
Yeah. He was hurting. Yeah.
He was hurting, clearly. Well, speaking of people performing at the pinnacle, Joey Harrington, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
Happy Smurf Day.
As I'm sure you know, we assume that you and the rest of your teammates on the Falcons have been counting down the days. This October marks the 50th anniversary of that international cartoon phenomenon known as the Smurfs. Yes, it was a short half century ago that the little blue shirtless creatures appeared in a French comic book. So we're going to ask you three questions about the Smurfs. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is quarterback Joey Harrington playing for?
Peter, Joey is playing for Judy Donahue of St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right. First question for you, sir. How did the Smurfs inventor, cartoonist Pierre Culifort, come up with the name Smurf? A, he was trying to describe the sound a mushroom makes when you step on it. Smurf. B, he asked somebody to pass the salt, but he forgot the word for salt and just said, pass the Smurf. C, it's an acronym for a French phrase meaning, roughly, charming little creatures in white underpants.
I'm going with the underpants.
You're going to go with the acronym. Smurf is an acronym.
Wait a minute, hold on. I got a.
The crowd went, ooh.
Yeah,
the crowd went, ooh.
Somebody reacted with physical pain to that.
I'm going to Price is Right. What should right. I be? Pull the audience. What do we got?
No. Yeah.
No.
Do you turn to the audience in the stadiums in which you play and say, so what should I do in this play?
Should I throw it to
that guy? No, you're on your own. You're in the pocket.
I'm sticking with my gut. I'm going with the white underpants.
Really?
Yes.
You should have listened to them. You were wrong. It was... No, what happened was he asked somebody to pass the salt.
Oh, you're not so smart now, are we?
Yeah.
They were going to send you to A, weren't they?
Yeah, I saw a lot of number ones in the audience.
Stepping on a mushroom, people?
I should point out that he didn't say pass the Smurf. He said pass the Strumpf, which in French is what you call a Smurf. In German, they're Schlumpfs. In Spain, they're Pitufos. And in China, they're Nam Ching Ling. Second question. Recently, a brand new film about the Smurfs came out with the help of the UN. It was made to advance a message. What happens in this film? A, the Smurfs meet with other forest-dwelling creatures and agree on tariff rates, just like in the European Union. B, the Smurfs, who are, of course, blue, deal kindly with the new race of pink Smurfs who immigrate to Smurf Village in order to do low-wage jobs. Or C, the Smurf Village is carpet bombed.
C.
See, you're gonna go for C. They were carpet bombed.
I'm getting.
You're getting good vibes.
I'm getting good vibes from someone in the. Yeah.
You think
the guy? The guy in the glasses over there is telling me C, and I have no idea. So I'm gonna.
You mean that blue guy?
Yeah.
That little blue guy with white underpants.
I believe his name is Brainy.
Brainy Smurf. Well, you or he are right. They're carpet bombed. The 25-second film made with UNICEF as a public service message shows the Smurf Village being bombed with Smurfs running fruitlessly for shelter. It ends with baby Smurf crying in the wreckage. Really? Then a captain comes on and says, quote, don't let war destroy the world of childhood.
Smurf. Wow. That's unsmurfy.
And here's the funny thing. It's unsmurfy. Here's the funny thing. What did they expect? People would watch this and they'd go, yeah, gosh, I guess I won't bomb that village. I mean, I don't know. All right, but you've gotten one.
Certainly stop my hand.
Yeah. All right, here we go. This is for all the marbles. Lastly, over the years, as the Smurfs have become ubiquitous all over the world, there have been some very odd conspiracy theories advanced, sometimes quite seriously, about the Smurfs, including which of these? A, that the whole Smurf saga is meant to be pro-communist propaganda. B, that they were originally inspired by a trip on magic mushrooms taken by the author, which explains their mushroom homes. Or C, that in the original French version of the comic, now lost to history, the Smurfs had visible body hair. One of these is a myth about the Smurfs. That
my
some
guy in the
believe
audience
in.
Is giving me a shrug right now.
Yeah. Left. You're out here by yourself, man.
I'm by myself.
Yeah. quickly shaving his body.
Another coach just quit on you.
And he said he'd be there for all three questions. Yeah.
17 days, man. 17 days. You couldn't wait.
All right.
You know, actually, I think I've actually heard the theory of the communist.
The pro-communist propaganda?
Uh-huh.
You're right, sir. Well done. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Carl, how did Joey Harrington do on our show?
Joey's a winner here. Peter, two correct answers, and he
wow.
wins.
There you go. Yeah.
Judy Donahue.
I'm just going to say, Joey, you know, at the end of the day Sunday, either Tom Brady or Eli Manning is going to be holding aloft the Lombardi Trophy, but they won't have this.
No, they won't.
No, they won't.
No, they
and
won't.
You know why? Because they won't return our calls. But we're so glad. We're so glad that you did. Joey Harrington is a veteran NFL quarterback. He currently plays for the Atlanta Falcons. Joey, thank you so much for being here with us. What
my
a great pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen. In just a minute, Carl reaches out and gets a big snub. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air.